the thing. Most of us are chronically online, including myself. It's hard not to be these days, but studies have shown just how taxing a digital existence can be. Luckily for the folks in Northwest Ohio, there is an ever-present outlet for escaping the pull of our curated algorithms, our metro parks. I'm Erin Holden, editor-in-chief of the Toledo Free Press. Each week, I'll be shadowing a different person at various metro parks to see how they are taking advantage of our expansive park system. Whether you are a runner, bird watcher, fisherman, or a mom who just wants your kid to get some fresh air and exercise at the playground, our parks really present infinite possibilities for outdoor experiences. And that's what I'll be doing on this podcast, exploring those possibilities with local folks like you who use Metro Parks Toledo in your day-to-day lives. Because if you want to get away from your screens and back to nature, Toledo's public spaces really do make that a walk in the park. To quote Henry David Thoreau's writings in Walden, "I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived." What does it mean to live deliberately? Do I have to go AWOL from my job and forego indoor plumbing to live like Thoreau? Or could a simple walk into the woods be enough to find peace in our modern world? We're lucky to have metro parks throughout our city. Swan Creek is the closest one to me because I live on the south side of Toledo. It's also special to me. I'll never forget a late summer visit to Toledo with my now husband over a decade ago. We walked around Swan Creek Metro Park in what struck me as one of the most idyllic settings I had ever seen in the middle of a busy city. In the interest of learning what it means to live deliberately, I met Isabella Weick, president and CEO of the Toledo Mindfulness Institute at Swan Creek. We sat down together at a charming gazebo near the airport highway entrance to have a chat about the power of nature, how she finds meaning within it for her work, and how to block out the noise of modern life with mindfulness practices. Thank you so much for joining us here at Swan Creek.
Oh my gosh, it's beautiful. Y'all, I wish we had visuals going on right now. Erin is like surrounded by this beautiful greenery. We're like in this gorgeous gazebo that Scott picked out. We are totally going to have a great conversation. Yes.
All right, so you are the president and CEO of the Toledo Mindfulness Institute. Sorry, Toledo Mindfulness
Girl,
Institute.
Girl, it's okay. It's a long name. It's a long name. That's why we go by TMI a lot.
Yeah, TMI.
Yeah, and then people are like, what? And I'm like, but it makes you remember it.
Right,
it's because true, TMI. It's our nickname.
Right, right.
But yes, you got it.
And it's a family business, right? So you tell me more about the history of the organization and how you got involved in it.
Sure. So yeah, my parents created the Institute nearly a decade ago. And at that point, it really just operated as like an employee wellness consultant agency kind of thing. So we would go into Owens Corning and stuff and provide mental health, wellness kind of things within the scope and field of mindfulness.
Okay.
And so what happened was after I graduated from college, I was like every other college person, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing with my life, but I love mindfulness and I love yoga. And so I went to my parents and I said, hey, what would it look like if you signed majority ownership to me and I just poured everything I have into this? I'm loving this yoga portion of what we do. And this historically was not part of the Institute. And they were like, okay, sure, let's try it. Within 6 months of that happening, we got to have our first ever physical location, brick and mortar space. I have been a maniac ever since that happened, mindfully. But yes, I've been pouring everything into it. So now we are a full service boutique fitness studio, yoga, mindful fitness, Pilates, sound bath. But then equally so, we're involved in the community. This is a huge portion of what we want to do. We want to be in every corner of the community, quietly and sincerely serving. Yeah. And that vision has quickly expanded.
Were mindfulness practices always a part of your life, or did you embrace it more as you got older?
Mindfulness is a huge portion of how I grew up. So my parents are the founders of the Buddhist Temple of Toledo. And so have you?
Yes.
Wonderful. Yeah. So I grew up, if you can imagine it, right? I'm like 5 years old. I've got my Barbies. And like we go to a silent meditation retreat once a month for basically my entire childhood. And so I'm an only child, and I'm not going to say I was there like meditating all the time. Of course not. But I was like, you know, I was there with my toys, and like I do the mindful eating that they would do and the mindful walking and mindful for a lot of the people at the retreat. We have this work practice that you get to do at the retreat.
Like working in the kitchen and things like that. I noticed it. Yes. I was with my friend and I got to experience the whole thing. It was amazing.
I love that. And so some people's work practice was literally babysitting me. So they would be like, you know, just like fully present with a child being like, I wasn't expecting this during a meditation retreat, but like, sure.
Tell me about your work with Metro Parks Toledo and the classes and programming that you've been involved in.
Gosh, I mean, I cannot share my gratitude enough for the Metro Parks on so many levels. As being a person who grew up in this area, this region, the Metro Parks have always been a safe place for me to go personally, right? Mm-hmm. To connect with myself through very hard times. And now professionally, they have been an extraordinary partner for the Institute. They really saw us and what we were doing, and they have just extended their hand out and said, we love what you're doing. We're going to amplify it. And I just walk with so much reverence and grace, like just like so much gratitude for it. And we've been able to do some extraordinary work together. Mm-hmm. I mean, last year we did over 1,000 person yoga class to celebrate Toledo and to celebrate like what the Metro Parks have been doing for the region. And that is like such a pinch me moment. You know, I can't even describe what it's like to be able to partner with the organization that's really been, they've been the stewards of this region.
Mm-hmm.
And however absolutely. TMI can help with that vision and mission, we're there. Right. 100% we're there.
And what does this Metro Park in particular mean to you, Swan Creek? I mean, what's your experience with this park?
Gosh, you know, so actually my great grandmother, she lived right around this area.
Okay. And so do I. This is the closest one to me. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. So when as a child, I used to spend a lot of time like specifically looking over at this creek.
And
spending time with my family.
Part of the relationship between Isabella's work and Metro Parks Toledo isn't just about mindfulness and getting outside. There's also a shared enthusiasm for the downtown renaissance in Toledo.
I am so obsessed with like how we're like breathing new life into this city. I think it's amazing. And obviously Metro Parks is at the forefront of that. So we've done a lot of classes downtown. And I guess my other thing to say would be I'm excited for the future classes that we get to do on the Riverwalk once that's completed.
Oh, yeah.
My dream would be able to help activate those spaces and help bring some of the first groups of people that get to really practice mindfulness, practice yoga, be there for that historic moment is amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool to see in real time. But I wanted to ask you first, if you don't mind sharing, how would you describe your personal spiritual practice?
Oh gosh, well, as I've gotten older, it's become more and more important for me to take custody over my physical and mental well-being.
Mm.
Pouring into self-care and into your own soul has been one of the most important parts of me developing as a woman, as a human being. As I get older, the more important it is. So for me, when I was a kid, I had a really rare autoimmune disorder called mixed connective tissue disease. It was not fun. It was not fun. That's the only way I can describe it. I was in a wheelchair. I was taking chemotherapy at Cleveland Clinic. Cleveland Clinic saved my life many, many times. Would try to get up for school in the morning. And I couldn't get up out of bed. And it wasn't because I was just a kid and I didn't want to go. It was like my whole body hurt in a way that I couldn't verbalize. Because you can't really verbalize that as a kid. So that was basically my life, Erin, from the age of 7 to, I don't even say I was in remission until like 18. I would do half days at school a lot in middle school, and they were just so gracious about it. But it really informed my life, if you can imagine it. I know anybody listening with an autoimmune, like a childhood autoimmune, you get it, where it's like all your friends are playing, and you like can't do that. And throughout that entire experience, the thing that kept me grounded to a sense of connection with the world, and honestly, a way to connect with my own body, even despite it being so hard, was my mindfulness and yoga practice.
Right.
So it's the greatest privilege of my life to be able to share these tools that were 100% there for me during some of the hardest times of my life. And so every single day I get to do what I do and connect with the community, I never take it for granted for a second.
For someone who's new to mindfulness or the practice of moving your body mindfully through yoga, where do you suggest that they start if they're completely new to it?
Gosh, yes. So the working definition of mindfulness that we like to organize ourselves around is mindfulness is the art of being present for the moment mm-hmm. in a non-judgmental way.
Yeah.
And that last piece, this non-judgmental way, it's one of the hearts of it is mm-hmm. most people are walking around very much in their thinking mind and very much judging what is around them mm-hmm. and themselves. And that's a really hard way to walk through the world. However, most of us do this. Yeah. That's why practicing mindfulness is so important. If you can imagine it, you're having your cup of tea in the morning and you're just having your cup of tea in the morning.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about what happened yesterday, what's going to happen tomorrow, the to-do list. All of those things are incredibly important. Okay. Yeah. I'm a 25-year-old business owner. Like, I know the to-do list is very important. And like, we got a team of 10. I get that. And being able to give yourself the gift of being just being.
Yeah.
Just being. And that's where being in natural environments like the metro parks is so important. I love this. I wish I could quote who I got this from, but it's go where you're celebrated.
Yeah.
Go where you're honored. Go where you can just be. That's the metro parks.
Well, we're more distracted than ever. I didn't grow up with the smartphone, but I mean, it rewires your brain. It's very difficult to disconnect from that and just like put down your phone enough to enjoy nature, actually experience it. Not listening to a podcast while you're walking, not to judge that. I mean, that's
don't
great.
Listen
that's
to us doing. Right
don't
now.
Listen
turn,
to us right
turn
now.
Turn us off right now. No, but it's so
but
right.
You know, like
please.
We're always yeah. listening to something, music or whatever, while we're doing whatever we're doing. I think that's just, it's more difficult than ever. So as someone who, I'm sure you grew up like really with this technology present a lot of your life, right? So like, how did you get past that to be mindful and like present in nature?
This is so good. I love talking about this because you're exactly right. I was the generation that kind of, we're like the wild, wild west of growing up with iPhones
yeah,
and stuff.
Right.
And if you know me at all, you know that I'm a content creator. I
yeah,
literally
right.
utilize social media to mm-hmm. help share these kind of messages out with people.
Right.
And so it's a very alive question for me about how to use it skillfully. The phone and social media is a tool. Mm-hmm. And see it four-dimensionally. It's designed to keep you in the loop. And where the harm comes in is when we're stuck in that loop and we're not aware of it.
That's right.
But knowing how to have a good, healthy relationship with it so that, to your point, I can put it in my car and I can go to the metro parks and I can let that sit there
yeah.
and be with nature. Mm-hmm. The problem I found is we still get wrapped up in it and it gives us all of those wonderful chemicals that make us
all
feel
the dopamine
so
hits.
Right.
Yeah.
One, be aware of that and just know that there is that level of experience and even much deeper in being in connection. Mm-hmm. That's connection with people, connection with nature. Like all of that, the phone, it's kind of like a sugary, candied version of that.
Right.
But the real roots, that's in the physical environment. So with mindfulness and yoga, I always tell people the best place to start, I'll have everybody do this right now, actually, as you're listening.
Okay. I'm going to do it too.
I love it. Notice how you are sitting currently or standing, or if you're driving, please keep your eyes open as you're on the road. And just notice how you are holding your body. How are you holding your body? Can you hold your body like the moment is holding you? Notice where in your body you released some tension you didn't even know you were holding. A lot of people hold it in their jaw, their shoulders,
yeah,
their
that's
chest.
Me.
Yes, everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Just even that simple check-in of yeah. like, how am I holding myself right now? I'm such a geek about this because that's actually preventative health work.
Yeah, right.
That right there. Like, how can we do as much preventative care for the mm-hmm. body so that we don't have to deal with a mountain as much as possible, you know, given my right. medical history, I know sometimes you can't avoid the mountain. The mountain is there for you.
Right.
But as somebody who's yeah. dealt with a mountain as much as possible, dear one, please, let's relax the body,
yeah.
nourish the body,
right.
sustain the body for longevity.
Mm-hmm.
just like a beautiful tree at the Metro Parks.
Yeah. So what does it mean to you to be, to feel at home with yourself in nature? What is it about it that you think has that effect?
Gosh, I want to be so real right now. When I was a kid, I had a very hard time like connecting with nature, if that makes sense. Like I grew up right around Oak Openings. And so I was always surrounded by it, but I never had that like awe moment, right? The awe moment happened for me when I was really looking at a tree. I'm looking at a tree right now, so I'll walk you through it. This is like a mindfulness visual meditation here. So as you're in nature, bring your awareness to what your eyes are connecting with. And notice the little fluctuations, the little moments of the wind moving through the leaves. Maybe some animals that you see. And notice how everything has a slight vibration to it. There's an aliveness, there's a heartbeat, there's this pulse of prana or energy moving through nature.
Yeah, like the gentle sway of that tree when it's quiet and there isn't a lot of people around, just hearing the creak of the trees, and it's just like the sounds of everything.
Right? And you're connected to like the sounds. Right, that's the another sound. Erin, you are on point. Okay, mindfulness queen. That's the other thing we can do is
I try.
And letting yourself totally melt into that experience. Mm-hmm. Like whatever that doorway is for you, it can be visual, physical, like sensation, like touch. Like you could touch a tree, but let yourself actually fully melt into that moment. Mm-hmm. And for that, it can be a minute, 30 seconds, just letting yourself be held by what's around you.
Yeah.
Non-judgmental awareness. Mm-hmm. What is it like to just let the moment hold you?
Yeah.
Bring awareness once again to where your body is holding tension. And it's not in a way to manage it, but notice where you can soften. Even a softening by like 10% makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
And as you do this, I'd set a timer for like 3 minutes and just notice the feeling of your breath moving in and out through your body. Yeah.
Just thinking about my breath and looking at the trees helped my shoulders drop and calm my nervous system.
Feels so good to do that now.
Right? It doesn't take
in the great outdoors.
It doesn't take much, but this is the great joy that I get to do through Toledo Mindfulness Institute and share these tools. So I encourage everybody to, if you don't have like an evening self-care routine, throw in a little mindful relaxation to connect with this practice in some way.
To say, one of my favorite parts of my job is hearing about people's personal stories. Isabella is very much in the public eye as a content creator, but this picture she just painted for me of a little girl growing up in a Buddhist temple who found herself battling an autoimmune disease throughout her formative years, it made me reflect on the vast patchwork of experiences that make a person who they are. What a life she's already lived and what lessons. She's only in her mid-20s. David Strickler is a commissioned lay minister at First Unitarian Church of Toledo, where he also acts as the walking group coordinator, leading participants on walks through Swan Creek Metro Park, as well as many other parks throughout the Toledo area. In continuing my conversation about the effects of nature on the mind and spirit, as well as the body, I wanted to pick David's brain about how these walks benefit participants holistically. David and I know each other because I'm also a member of the church and have been since 2023. After my chat with Isabella, David joined me for a walk and talk on a nearby trail. Yeah, thanks for coming out to take a walk with me in Swan Creek. I know this is one of your regular walking spots with the Unitarian Church, right?
This is a regular walking spot, but we also try to hit all the metro parks throughout the year.
Okay. And this is the closest one to
First Unitarian Church of Toledo.
That's right. Which I am a member.
You are. Yes.
Yeah. So yep, we
came to this one first because it is the closest.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really nice. One of my questions happened to be, is this the one that you normally go to? And then I saw that you even at some point went to, is it Woodlawn Cemetery?
Yes.
I just went for a walk there with
my husband and my son town, so you know.
Mm-hmm.
And man, what a beautiful spot. I feel like that's a gem that people don't talk about that much. It's a beautiful cemetery.
Absolutely. There's a birding group that meets there every Friday morning. Mm-hmm. So I started going there with the birding group.
I should note here that David did show up with his birding binoculars, just in case of a good sighting.
The other great cemetery in Toledo is Forest Cemetery in North Toledo.
Okay.
It's the oldest city cemetery, and a lot of interesting structures and terrain. So.
Yeah. And what role would you say that nature has played in the UU tradition? Because I know you're very well versed in like the history of the church.
There's two aspects to consider.
Uh-huh.
Number one, the Unitarian movement arose in the U.S. in the early 1800s. And a lot of the people that were involved in that were called Transcendentalists.
Right.
And
right.
They believed that you could get to know about God by observing God's creation.
Mm.
So they were very involved in being in nature and then taking care of nature. And in fact, several of the movements in the late organizations that started in the late 1800s, early 1900s to conservation movements were started by people influenced by Transcendentalist Unitarians. Uh-huh. So then there's a different thread that comes from, there are folks in the Unitarian Church who come out of the earth-centered traditions.
Like pagan?
Yes.
Okay. And yes, so they, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, they revere the earth, they revere the cycles that we experience every year, and they try to cultivate that worship as a form of humility too.
Oh, wow.
So.
Yeah, what do you think there is about nature that brings about a sense of humility?
Well, one, the vastness of it.
Yeah.
And just even walking through this metro park today, you see all the different shades of green and yellow. Mm-hmm. You see some trees that are well along and leafing out and others that aren't. And you hear the birds.
A little bit of the traffic.
As well as the traffic, yeah, despite the traffic.
Yeah. Birds. And I mean, even with the traffic, it's really nice to have this right in town to where you can access it and explore. I mean, that's one thing about the Metro Parks is just having that accessibility is really special, I think, in Toledo.
I agree, and absolutely. Today, you can hear the trees rustling.
Yeah,
which is special too.
Beautiful. And when did you start the walking group at the church?
Yes.
I know you're the coordinator.
I started. We had a committee fair a couple years ago, and we're talking about what other ways that people want to be involved. So I put out a survey in my role as commissioned lay minister. I thought, mm-hmm. I'll put a survey out, see what people want to do. And I had a bunch of options on there, and I asked for other suggestions. The walking group was one of the top options that people chose. So I thought,
oh,
I can do
cool.
that. I will do that.
There's obviously a physical benefit to walking, but what do you think the participants that you walk with a lot get out of it spiritually?
Yeah, I mean, certainly being in nature. I think there's also just the element, it's a way to get people together, mm-hmm. to share stories, share things about their life, to share their concerns, be happy together,
yeah.
or to share sadness. I think there's a whole nother dimension to it, though, that I want to mention. And that is that walking is a common metaphor in the Bible.
Oh.
It's also the Puritans that settled Massachusetts Bay Colony. They talked about walking together in the light of God,
oh,
in the
wow.
Spirit of God. And of course, the Puritans based everything on the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
in modern day, for people who maybe aren't as theologically conservative as the Puritans,
mm-hmm.
find that walking together builds community and is a way of connecting.
Yeah, there's a kinship to it,
yeah.
walking together.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of walking as a spiritual practice made me think of the parallels between the biblical tradition and the walking meditation at the Buddhist temple that Isabella referenced. Walking for mindfulness, walking communally. That connection between body and mind can be found in Buddhism, but even, incredibly, among Puritans.
Our lives are kind of complicated now. We have a lot of distractions. So in that vein, I think we kind of overcomplicate wellness,
mm-hmm.
that we should be doing this, like go to the gym, you should journal every morning, you should meditate right away, you should
right,
do it. It's like,
right.
it's almost, I sometimes get stressed thinking about all the things I need to do to make myself well.
Right.
What do you think human beings need most in order to stay well in body and mind? That's a pretty big question.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no problem.
At this point, I was getting a little out of breath. I love walking and truthfully could walk all day long, but this makes me reflect on how I'm going to perform in our forthcoming running episode.
Well, one, I do agree that exercise of some type is really important. Mm-hmm. A number of years ago, I started being more conscious about adding walking in my life on a daily way.
Yeah.
And so when I learned along the way that walking is a form of exercise that I will do consistently.
Yes, same.
I've done many other types of things, and I have stuck with walking.
Mm-hmm. What are some things that you've tried? I'm just curious.
Oh, I played tennis a lot when I was younger.
Okay.
I did cross country in high school.
All right. My other question for you is, I feel like people that are, let's say, elderly or very young, those two groups tend to me, be the most isolated, mm-hmm. whether it's because of technology or maybe they just, like, if they're elderly, have a hard time getting out and about for whatever reason. So what do you think are the benefits of gathering for a walk like this socially?
Those are two good cohorts to think about. I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the idea that there's something happening, an event happening with other people, and you've said you would go or you want to support it, is a little bit of a push to get out there.
Uh-huh.
I've also become more active at the Y, the West Toledo Y.
Oh, cool.
And I see people there who get together. They're walking around the Y together, this older group of women.
Right.
And so I think the Y has great programming, and it's also another way that facilitates people getting together.
Oh, yeah. I've noticed that, too, at the Y.
Yeah.
It's a good community gathering spot.
Yeah.
I would say for people who have a hard time pushing themselves to get together in person, mm-hmm. what would you recommend for, like, getting past that impulse to kind of just be isolated, which is so common now?
Yeah, that's a tough question, too. I think certainly having a partner, mm-hmm. somebody, a friend that you can, you know, make a deal with or say, I'm going to go, will you go with me, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. You said you were going to go, let's go.
Yeah, like kind of a accountability buddy.
Yeah,
that's kind of push you.
Yeah.
At Swan Creek Metro Park, is there anything you can think of that you and the group have seen that was really exciting, like wildlife? I know you have your birding binoculars. So.
Yes, I have my binoculars with me just in case. Last time we came out here, I recall we went to the Window on Wildlife.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of getting a little bit late in the evening. You didn't see many birds at that point, but we saw a couple raccoons out there.
Oh, cool.
And that was fun. And today, this morning, when I was on my way over to join the interview here, mm-hmm. My phone picked up a Nashville warbler,
ooh.
Which is a fantastic bird.
Is that a pretty rare one to come across?
They're not exceptionally rare. These warblers migrate through right now.
Sure, yeah.
But it's fun to see them. And as a side note, when I form my country western band, we are going to be the Nashville Warblers.
Oh my gosh, that's so good.
You heard it here first.
Oh, that's a great name for a band.
I thought so. I feel like we're speeding up in our pace here, too.
Yeah.
Which
you don't have to walk as fast. I whatever you
to
guys
paint a behind the scenes picture for you, Michael from our production team is following right behind us on this walk, tethered to the mics we're holding.
One of the things that helps me guide our walks is we get a group together, and then usually at the end of that walk, I kind of take a survey and ask, where do you want to go next?
Okay.
Because we've tried to hit all the metro parks at various times and nice cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people give reasons where they want to go to a certain place. So we're going to go to Irwin Prairie Nature Preserve next because somebody said there will be a lot of wildflowers out now.
Oh,
so let's go there. And we're going to go to, I think it's Sidecut maybe after that, because talking about the water birds coming through.
Yeah.
So we try to incorporate those suggestions, and typically they're based on the things that people are already interested in nature.
Yeah.
And right now I'm smelling the lilacs.
Oh, yeah.
They are wonderful
too.
Out here, aren't they?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I love this park. This was actually my first time going to a Toledo Metro Park, was at this park. My husband is from Toledo, so I was just visiting from Louisiana, and we went for a walk out here, and I saw like 4 or 5 deer, and it was just, I was like, what is this magical place? It was in September.
The light
was beautiful. It was a gorgeous day. Yeah, so this one is definitely near to my heart because of that. Is there anything that we miss that you really enjoy about your get-togethers in the metro parks?
Well, I had kind of a more general thought, actually, on the way over.
Oh, sure.
And that is, I think one of the issues in our society is we've become too focused on performance rather than participation.
Yes.
So I learned that in music. I play banjo and guitar. You'll probably never see me perform because the reason I do it is so I get together and play music with other people. And similarly, I think that's a similar thing with exercise. You know, watching the US Open is fun. But you should get out and play tennis, even if you're not gonna ascend to the great heights of performance, of playing. Everybody should participate.
Right. If you are interested at all in trying something, you should just do it for the sake of doing it rather than like, oh, I'm gonna like level up in my tennis skills.
Right.
I think that's so true. I think right now there's this productivity culture around where it's like, how are you bettering yourself, et cetera. And that kind of bleeds into everything we do in a way that I think is kind of stressful.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. David Strickler, thank you for coming out and going for a walk with me. And
well, you're very welcome, Aaron. It's great to be out here for any excuse, and nice to talk to you.
I've always been a bit of a spiritual seeker. I grew up in the United Pentecostal Church, but I've always been exploratory within the realm of spirit and faith. Honestly, that's what brought me to join a Unitarian Universalist church and what brought me to visit the Buddhist Temple of Toledo that Isabella grew up in. It was gratifying to me to speak with both Isabella and David about their relationships to their own spiritual practices, how they're able to find mindfulness and meaning through immersing themselves in nature, and how they've been able to connect their spiritual studies to what we can learn by taking a simple walk. To bring it back to one of the OG American Transcendentalists, our old pal Thoreau, quote, "We need the tonic of wildness. At the same time that we are earnest to explore and learn all things, we require that all things be mysterious and unexplorable, that land and sea be indefinitely wild, unsurveyed, and unfathomed by us, because unfathomable. We can never have enough of nature." I'd like to thank my guests, Isabella Wyke and David Strickler, for joining me on today's episode. Thanks as well to our production team, MR Herner and Chris Pfeiffer, and a special thanks to Scott Carpenter of Metro Parks Toledo. A Walk in the Park With is a collaboration between Metro Parks Toledo and WGTE Public Media. You can find our episodes at wgte.org/walkinthepark or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host and producer, Aaron Holden. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Thank you.